Hi, everybody. Welcome to V Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. I'm Lisa Burwell, the editor-in-chief of V Magazine and your host today, as I bring you the lovely, the talented, the larger-than-life Ashley Longshore, who is an artist, an entrepreneur, and so many more things, and she's got lots of things in the works right now. And Ashley, thank you so much for being here from New York City today.
Oh, I just have to tell you, I have loved you for so long. You are such an incredible entrepreneur yourself. What you've built is magnificent, and it is truly an honor for me.
Oh,
you know, I have nothing
you.
But love for you and the empire that you have built.
Oh my gosh, right back at you. I feel unworthy, but thank you so much. And it takes a village and it takes a team, and I have a great one. So thank you. Appreciate it. We love you too.
It does take that. It does.
It does. It does. It's not a one-man show by any means at all. And here are some of your, this is your first magazine that you are on with your butterfly. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, so incredible.
And then here's your Bergdorf's cover, which was unreal.
Talk about a
and
moment.
Then recent Christmas. Yes.
Are That's you kidding me right now?
I know.
Thank you so much for all of your support. And
thank
you. You're so supportive of artists and creatives and business owners. And I have to say, I think that's why you are so successful. I mean, obviously it's many reasons, but to me, the creative community is the foundation of any great city, of any great place, of any great thing. And you always just scream to the heavens about the creative community.
Yes, I do. I love it. And I love collaborations, and I just love doing things. Going the extra mile and even spending the extra dollars, because it does take that to do something really well. And so many people just do not want to do that. And I've never cared about that, because I only care about the outcome, and I don't care about the money road as we're going along, because I just want to be excellent. And that's why I love people like you and all the different artists that we've been able to feature and collab with. But our office is totally tricked out with Ashley Longshore, as you know.
Thank you for that. Yeah, you definitely go, you go as far as you can when you put together a project. You definitely are not one of those penny pinching awful people. What Karl Lagerfeld said? If you're cheap, nothing can help you.
Well, that's true. Well, that's very good. I mean, I was just thinking about getting ready for this podcast last night, and I was thinking about, like, we go way back, even when we came to your gallery in New Orleans and we filmed you there for your article. Yeah, forever ago on Magazine Street, and your gallery is still there and booming, and all the changes that have gone on.
That's
so good.
You know, it's my God, and my team is so incredible, and bless them. I mean, we've had a very interesting, as the rest of the world, a very interesting few years. Wonderful years in many senses, in that, you know, my collectors all over the globe have been so supportive and wonderful. But it has definitely been something to go from, you know, having a line around the block to get into the gallery to, you know, everybody having on masks and the world shutting down. And of course, that incredible tourism is so important to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And New Orleans needs money. So it's been hard to see the city and you know, not just alive and bustling with people. So things are really good right now. I mean, it's hot as hell, but people are out and about, they're in the city, they're listening to music, they're eating food, they're buying art, they're doing all those things that New Orleans is so good
at. Hallelujah, right? Because that was scary. If New Orleans was going to go away and that culture was going to go away, that would be frightening, actually.
New Orleans isn't going to go anywhere. I mean, after what the city's been through and the history of the city, I mean, it's when music and food and camaraderie are the foundation of a city, you could blow the whole city down and we're still going to have, you know, a great time. It's such a special place. That being said, because of the pandemic, you know, I decided, as I think we all have, like, what do I really want, man? What are the goals? What is this life? I mean, time is ticking. So I got a little spot in New York, and I've always loved the theater. So I've been going to musicals nonstop, and I've actually started working on a musical of my own. So
I love
it. Excited about that.
So can you say anything about that? Like, is it going to be off Broadway? How are you going about this? This is so fascinating.
I mean, I'm in the incubation stage right now. So, but it's campy and it's big and it's wild and it's very me and it's a wonderful story. So I'll give you the exclusive on that.
Oh yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
But it's, you know, to be in New York and to be in Soho and to be here with all of this energy and, you know, the Whitney right down the street and the Guggenheim and just the energy of everything. It's just, it's magnificent.
Great. Well, will you be in the musical? Will you be in it or just writing it?
You know, as much as I'm enjoying all of these dancers and amazing performers, I realize, no, I'm going to leave that to them. I'm going to leave
that. Okay. Maybe a cameo. That would be great.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, I can carry it tune.
Right. So I don't want to go back too far, but I mean, you did it your way. You're an artist who did not follow, you're a leader. And when you decided many years ago that you were not going to be an artist who split 50% of your hard-earned talent and work with the gallery, and you decided to go it on your own, was there ever a moment back then that you thought, wow, maybe this isn't going to work? Because obviously it did work so well for you. But were there times when you were like, am I doing the right thing?
I never questioned whether or not I was doing the right thing. I knew I was climbing up the mountain on a different path.
Yeah.
Where there was no path, really. I knew it was going to be tough. But I'm so grateful that I did it this way because... you know, being able, and you know this too, as an entrepreneur, being able to build a team, knowing who my clients are, building those relationships, there's an intimacy there that is just so, it's so special and it brings me so much joy every day. And yes, I don't want to give up 50%.
Right.
I definitely don't want to give up 50%. So, you know, this was the only way I could do it. It was the only way that made sense to me.
Right. Talk about some of the collabs that you've had over the years too, because you've been an artist who has a huge fan base and a following, but you were also able from your business savvy to marry up and collab with very high profile people, celebrities, and businesses. And did that come to you or was that purposefully strategic for your business plan?
You know, it's funny. So many of those things do have to come to you directly. And I think it's just a matter of casting a wide net. So for me, you know, in where I knew I needed to put my marketing was in booming cities with lots of like new entrepreneurial money. Now, New Orleans is an incredible city, but it's not a city of entrepreneurs at all. Right. So, you know, very young, I was like, okay, how can I get my art in Houston? How can I get it in Dallas? How can I get it in obviously New York City, the dream of any artist? And just in networking, using social media, posting new artwork, connecting with people, sending out emails, really just using every tool that I possibly could to get out there. After years and years of hard work, you know, opportunities do start to roll in. Mm-hmm. And look, that being said, there was also a lot of opportunities that I was like, no, because I think just as you know, you have to protect your brand. You have to protect what you're building. So, I mean, like for example, when Anthropology, this was like one of the first big things that I did. Yeah. They had gone on an inspiration trip to New Orleans and a friend of mine said, oh yeah, the Anthro people are here. Da, da, da. And I'm like, well, how can I get them in the gallery? And they're like, well, their schedule is completely booked. And I'm like, well, I'll buy them lunch, bring them they've got to eat. And when I tell you, I emptied my bank account.
Wow. That's
great. To get them. I had sushi. I went and bought all these gorgeous flowers. Like I staged it, you know,
yeah.
And they were so amazing. And I'm you know, of course I got an incredible opportunity to work with them. And met friends that I still have to this very day. But the other thing is, at that point in my career, I didn't really understand totally how manufacturing worked, how collaborations worked. So I learned a lot from them about, you know,
big business corporations.
Questions to ask. How many units are you making of this and what do they cost you versus my design fee and what I'm getting? So, you know, now I have my own manufacturing platform and I've learned so much from all my collaborators. I've always wanted to collaborate with people that I learn from, that know more than me, that are smarter than me.
Well, on the heels of that, how did you and Deanne von Furstenberg hook up where she commissioned you to paint, was it 100 different influential and famous women for a one-woman art gallery?
So I met Diane through her CEO at the time, Sandra Campos. And I was at an event and my friend Rochelle's Lingua Franca, I don't know if you're familiar with her. She makes all those great sweaters with embroidery on them. And Sandra goes, "Why? You need to check your DMs, girl. I've been trying to get in touch with you." And I'm like, "Oh my God." So she said, "I have an idea for a project." And I'm like, "Amazing." So next thing you know, I had been chosen to do one of 12 big Gucci murals around the world. And I was in London.
Yes.
And I was in Claridge's. And my dad was there. My family was there.
Yes.
And I'm like, "Oh my God, they're putting up the Claridge's Christmas tree." Well, guess who did the tree that year? Diane.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, "Oh my God, this is crazy." So I'm like, Sandra, like I'm here in London and Diane is doing the Christmas tree. Are you here?" And she's like, "I can't be here, but I've got to set you up with Diane." Next thing I know, I'm having tea with Diane and she's telling me her idea. She had not made up her mind about me yet. She had some strong opinions about life. She didn't want bedazzle. She didn't want glitter. She didn't want resin. And I'm like, "Look, Diane, if you want to curate me. Like you're my goddess."
Right.
So she sent me over the names of, I think it was like maybe 42 women. I had some ideas about women I wanted to paint and I painted them fast and furiously. And she was blown away. She was so excited. And I mean, this was what, three and a half years ago. And it's still hanging. I drove by there two nights ago.
Yes. And that grand opening looked like it was just something right out of, you know, a movie, pretty much.
Well, you know what? When you stand in a room full of incredible women, and this doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm just like the messenger here. Yeah. When you stand in a room full of those amazing women and all of that color and the energy of that, and you see these faces staring back at you, not only do you see yourself in these women, but you just feel joy and you feel hope and you feel inspired, whether you're a man or a woman. It's a really, really special room. And my favorite project I've ever done, to be honest with you. Actually, I just added some new women. I added Katherine Johnson, Amal Clooney.
I love her.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie for her humanitarian work. She's brilliant. So that
she is.
That I plan on continuing throughout my entire life. I'll never stop.
That's amazing. Kudos to you for that. And how long did it take you to paint all of the paintings for the big opening?
I paint very, very quickly. And I think I painted all of those women in like 2 weeks. I had ice packs on my shoulders and my arms. I had, because I was leaving, I was actually taking half of my team to Africa. So whenever you get these big projects, it's always like, "We want you to do this big thing, but by the way, we're going to need everything in 2 weeks." Like, I don't know why it's always that way.
That's crazy.
Even when I did Bergdorf Goodman, it was that way. It was like, "This is what we need. We need it in 2 weeks." It's like, okay.
Well, that's amazing because I remember when you were posting it on your Instagram and social channels, like the writing, the wordsmithing that you did about each of these women. So you must have done a lot of research. It sounds like you got into their soul. And then, you know, the painting is like the end product of a lot of researching about who these people are. And I think that's how you capture the essence of all of these people as well. Because you're not just looking at a photograph and recreating a photograph. Like, your process seems like it's so much bigger than that.
You know, something that I loved so much about all of these women is being misunderstood, the adversity that they went through, and throughout all of it, that they remain true to themselves. And I think that's all just what we're trying to do here. We're all just trying to be ourselves, and we're all so unique and different. And the weirdest thing about us is probably the best thing about us. And we all just need to let our little freak flags fly.
Totally. So I agree 100%. Let them fly. How did you hook up with the artist in residency at Bergdorf's? How did that happen?
You know what? I had one of their buyers had been in New Orleans and had seen my artwork. And she called me up one day and she said, "Hey, listen, we're doing a big artist thing and wanted you to be a part of it." And I'm like, "Wow, amazing." And I said, that's really great. And yeah. And let me send you over some stuff, but I just want to throw this out there. I'm an artist. I have a huge inventory of works that I think would be, perfect for Bergdorf Goodman that are, edited.
Right.
I also have a whole line of furniture. I have sculptures and I have product. So I'm just saying, if you wanted it to be just me, I could do it. So I'm just going to send you over a presentation. I sent over a presentation and 2 days later they called and they said, "You're on, you've got it."
Wow.
You sold it. You sold you to be
the entire... Well, all they could do was say no, Lisa.
Right.
All they
it's
could
awesome.
Do was say no. So, and then she goes, "And by the way, David Hoey may want to do a window." And I'm like, "What?" Right. And, as you know, that turned into every window down Fifth Avenue.
Unbelievable.
I sent like 300 paintings. They didn't have anywhere to store them. It was the only thing they could do was to put them in the windows and everywhere else because it was so much of it.
The windows were amazing. Yeah, they were fascinating. And then we got, you had told me that you were having a grand opening party there and all that you were doing. And then we were on the phone and I said, "Do you think we could photograph you for the cover?" And then you were like, "I don't know, but I'll ask them and I'll get back to you." And I think within maybe 5 hours or the next day, you said, "Yes, they're game on. We can do this." And then when we started dialoguing with the powers that be at Bergdorf's, they said we had 2 hours. And I think it was from, we had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and going into Bergdorf's at 6 o'clock in the morning from the employee's entrance was just a surreal experience in and of itself to be in that store before it was open. It was like you were a kid in a candy store or something. It's crazy feeling, it was so movie-like. And then we had 2 hours to do a cover, and we've never done a cover in 2 hours before, but we were game. We had to do it, and that was it. And then I think I shared with you just a few minutes ago, I had not shared this with you before, but we were so excited. We made our plane tickets. We got the photographer, Carlo, and the band was ready to go. And they said, "But we need you to pull a $5 million indemnification policy." And I'm like, "Oh, shoot. Like, if we can't get this, then, we can't go." And thankfully, within an hour, our insurance company said yes. And that was for 2 hours. And then we took your amazing photos, which are crazy. And then you were in time.
Oh, great. The photographer was so amazing. Yeah.
Carlo is amazing. He is. He is amazing. And then your cover was broadcast in Times Square, too. So that was was big, big, big. Yeah. Now you're in New York, and now you're hanging out on Broadway, and now you're writing a musical. So who knew that all this was going to happen?
Yeah. Who did know? Who did know?
Well, let me ask you this: did you know, like, when you were imagining and you were a kid and then you were even deciding to be an artist, what did you think? Does this exceed your dreams or does it not even touch the surface?
Well, first of all, when I was a kid, I didn't know I was an artist. I didn't figure that out until I was 18 or 19. And, I knew I just didn't want to go into some corporate job. I always knew I'm a weirdo. I'm weird. I don't know what's weird about me. I don't know why I'm weird. But being from Montgomery, Alabama is, is extremely conservative. Yes. Raised to be a lady, bat your eyes and smile if you don't like something. Go marry a rich guy. Spew out a bunch of youngins. Drive a Mercedes. That just always sounded so boring to me. I'm not jacking it because I think it's wonderful. motherhood, sabbath, like do it, do your thing. I just knew it wasn't for me.
Right.
So then, you know, I'd gone off to boarding school in Atlanta. I'd lived in Providence, Rhode Island for a minute. Then I went to college in Montana, and I started painting in Montana on my own. And of course, when you're in college, you have to really think about like, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life? Mm-hmm. And I just found this thing that brought me so much joy, so much, I think too, I've always been very anxious. So when I found art and I found this thing where at the end of the day, I could see my time, I could see art, and I could see that I had been productive. I could see I'd done something with my day. At some point, it all clicked that, oh my God, I've got these things that I can sell. I'm an artist. Why can't I go out there and have a big career? And the freedom of that has just been absolutely incredible. So, I think it's weird when you're in it to think, oh my God, this is all my dreams have come true. I think I'm still climbing up the mountain for the things I'm really going to create. I don't think I've created my best art. I don't think I've said what I really need to say yet. I think, all those things take a lot of time. But I am enjoying, like, you know, writing on a musical. Yes. I have another animated project I've been working on for quite some time with Seth MacFarlane and his company Fuzzy Door.
Wow, that's so cool. Wow, that's cool. And talk about your NFTs. Now let's have a real serious conversation.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Now let's
talk about that.
and bless this crypto winter that we're in right now. I guess it's Wall Street and crypto as well. You know what I love about it? And it is a complicated thing to grasp in terms of you thinking you're buying this digital art, right? Like, what do you do with it? But if you think about it as a token, a non-fungible token, this token is getting people more access to me. When you are a holder of one of my NFTs, you know, I have a Discord where you can come in and I'm active. You have more access to me. You have VIP access to all of my in real life events. I'm going to give you the first opportunity when I'm releasing new art, new series, my goodies that I make, all my products. It's a really, really close-knit community of people who love my artwork. And there's an intimacy there that is, it's much more so than in like the Web 2 world. It's the wild, wild west, but I'm really, really enjoying it. And I'm learning a lot about it. It's very new, very, very new.
It is very new, but everybody that's anybody is doing it. So you're all onto something here.
Well, you know, I'm building an online gallery in Web3 where my holders will be able to go in and we have like parties and there's like video. And the only way you can have access to this is by being a holder. So
you have your own metaverse then. You're building that yourself. Okay, that's
right. And I mean, you know, the other idea is that, like, you know, let's say, Lisa, that I'm starting a production company and I'm hiring animators. Let's just say. And I'm creating a bunch of amazing content like that I don't want to have to sell through other production companies that, just like the gallery world, take percentage. Oh. There's no nut left, Lisa. There's no nut left.
Yeah, smart.
Girls get it. Smart. So let's say that my holders are the only people that can get access to that content. For example, the other night I went to a Madonna show here in New York City. And the only way that you could get into that show was, I actually have a friend that used to be her manager that got me in. But the other way was to buy an NFT. Her NFTs were already sold out. So you had this huge, like, you know, crypto community, and it was put on by World of Women.
Yeah,
which is a female. I don't think it's women that run it. NFT initiative, all about women, which is very cool. Right. But it's a token, man. It's a token for
action. Well, it's like a VIP club, really. Like, if you wanted to net it way down,
it is.
Would it be that?
Sure,
okay.
It is.
but they can own a fraction, or you own the art, but they own a fraction of it. They can use it digitally any way they want. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of big collectors, and I have several whales, you know, they have like big, yeah, massive screens, and they're building like NFT museums so that the digital art is displayed. I mean, this is the future.
I know, it's the future. Yeah.
In 5 or 6 years from now, me and you would be doing this as holograms right now.
I know. It's bizarre.
It's going to be incredible.
Absolutely. Okay, so real quick question. How was the Madonna concert?
Oh, unbelievable. Like, was it... And so many of my favorite drag queens were performing. Violet Chachki was performing, who I'd just seen like 2 weeks prior to that in Paris. She's unbelievable. Bob, yeah, the drag queen, was the MC, yeah, of the whole thing. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. She's unreal. Remarkable.
Yeah, she is. She is the quintessential entertainer of the whatever, more than 5 decades right now. So you were in Paris for like a while, right? Was that fun or business or mixture of both?
Business and fun. I had some big collectors that were having some events over there, and yeah, it was
so
awesome.
Cool. Unbelievable.
It's the first time I've been back in Europe in 3 years. Damn, I missed it.
What was it like? Was it back to normal? Was it better? Was it different? Because I haven't been to Europe since COVID.
It was wonderful. And I felt that the French were oh so patient.
Oh, good. Really?
a bit more tolerable.
Oh, good.
Of me.
Of us?
as an American that doesn't speak French.
Right. Yes.
So it was just to be traveling again. I mean, I've committed a lot of this year to just being back out on the road again. And to going and, you know, seeing the world. I mean, yeah. I think we're all shooketh.
Right. We're shooketh for sure. For sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of the world to see. I mean, I felt so sad and so oh my God, just morose during the quarantine, not only at the horror of what we were witnessing, but of my longing for the world and everything I hadn't seen yet. I mean, I can't stay inspired by staying in the same room and looking at a white canvas. I have to get out there.
Yeah, that must have been amazing. Quickly, if you can, tell us about your artist in residency at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Oh,
2 years ago? Okay, tell me about that.
Oh, that was last year.
That was last year. Oh, my gosh. That was last year.
So I was out there for 6 months, not six months straight. I spent about a week and a half of every month at the hotel, which, as you can imagine, was just
horrible. I know. Yeah. Yeah, horrible. I feel so bad for you.
That is such a beautiful property. The history of that property is incredible. And so I had all of my art and I would paint. I would hang out at the hotel and have tea and see all of the gorgeous patrons and, you know, go tootle around LA and Beverly Hills. And then I painted these beautiful paintings. And then we had a really, really fun show. I think it was last October when we did it.
Yeah, amazing.
And yeah, it was really, really, really cool. Really, really, really cool.
Well, thank you so much for your time. But before we go, let's just like, we're not going quite yet, but let's talk about current day between us about the very cool fact that you are commissioned to paint Julian Lennon for the grand opening of the Heritage V Legacy Show Home in September.
I mean, I'm like pinching myself. First of all, I can't wait to meet him, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. Again, everything that you do is just on another level. What an honor. I mean, he's such a brilliant human being.
He is.
From what you've said, such a kind, talented, amazing person. And I can't imagine how hard it must be to have that last name and to live with that. I think the crown of that would be very, very heavy. So it makes me so happy to know what a free spirit he is, and how much love is in his heart. And
A lot of grace. He wears that legacy, I think, so well, because he's such a strong person and he's so evolved. I think he's a very evolved person that he's able to carry that crown. It's so funny that you say that too with the crown, because when I was first thinking about, wow, what if Ashley would paint Julian? I don't know why, but I'm like, wow, it would be, maybe she'll put a crown on him. I don't know in the painting, but he is, he's one of my very favorite people that I've met on my journey, as like you are one of my favorites and
so many others. I'm so excited about the entire process.
I can't wait to see what you do. Can't wait. That's so exciting.
I'm not one that sets up cameras while I paint or anything like that, but I think we need to get a little behind the scenes footage for you.
Awesome. Well, that'd be great. Well, we can add that into the documentary because we're making a documentary on the making of the show Home. So if you do that, we'll put that into the documentary too.
I mean, yes.
I mean,
yes. Hey, you know, the other thing that I love about this is, of course, it's incredible to tell his story. Of course, you have this beautiful magazine and outlet, and I'm an artist. But at the end of the day, I think what you and I are both trying to do is to inspire, to inspire people in their life, to find joy in their life.
Yes, totally.
And that's what I hope to do when I paint him. I hope that it gives him joy. I hope it makes people excited when they see it. And I hope for young artists or any artist out there that it inspires them, you know, that every day is a new day to do something, you know?
Yes. You have to create your life for yourself, but for others too. And I think that is what you do so brilliantly. And it's what we strive to do too, is just literally to make the world a better place. But to do that, you know, it's a lot of effort and time, and you have to care about doing that. And I don't think a lot of people have that at the front and center of their life, which is fine because everyone's not the same. But it is important to create places and spaces and memories. And so that's what we are really hoping to do with this upcoming event in September, is to create like some movie magical memory. And I think it's going to happen.
Well, I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Oh, I'm so glad you're doing it. I'm so happy. So for all the listeners and the viewers out there, Ashley, the beautiful Ashley, has COVID, and she toughed it out and she got on this interview, and I am forever indebted to you
for doing that. And I appreciate
look at everything I have like over here.
Oh my gosh.
Also, like, I cannot lay in the bed for another second. Yeah. I've been in the bed for 3 days and I felt like I was going to freak out. Absolutely freak out.
So. I do appreciate it though. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I love you and can't wait to see you soon. And have a wonderful day. Thank you. This was so fun.
All right,
everybody. So we're signing off. Make sure you go to Ashley's Instagram and her website and you check her out if you don't know her. And I don't know too many people that don't know Ashley Longshore, but her art is amazing. Stay tuned for all the details on the upcoming opening of the show Home with Julian Lennon, and Ashley's going to be there as well. And all the fascinating things that Ashley's doing in her life. She's super, super cool, and she's super great at what she does. We love her and her work. Ashley, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Bye.